All right, good evening. It's a blessing to be back home at Pacific Baptist Church. And for the past decade, my wife and I have had the privilege of serving on our team there in Cambodia. And God's done some wonderful things. And and thank you for being our home and sending church. I don't know about you, but to me that sounds really good. And just grateful for what God is doing here. It's a blessing to be in the new building. And just thinking about what God has allowed our church to do here in Cambodia and just throughout all over the world, and just to be able to have a small part in it. We're going to show a video, and after the video, and I'll come and I'll preach here. Thank you. Cambodia is a country located in Southeast Asia. It has a population that is fast approaching 17 million. 96% of the population is unreached. Buddhism is enshrined in the Cambodian constitution as the official religion of the country. Over 97% of the population claims to be Buddhist. Though Cambodia seems to be open to Christianity, the true gospel is often absent, rejected, or misunderstood. Hello, my name is Buna.
And I'm T.
And we are the Haas family, your missionaries in Cambodia. T and I are both Cambodian Americans. We met in Bible College, graduated, and have been married since 2008. We are part of Team Cambodia, all sent out of our home church, Pacific Baptist Church, located in Long Beach, California, pastored by Steve Myers. T and I have been serving in Phnom Penh, the capital city of Cambodia, since 2012. Our vision, since we arrived just over a decade ago, was to obey the Great Commission of our Lord Jesus by reaching the lost, training nationals, and planting churches. This past decade, we have seen God work wonders as souls have been saved, nationals have been trained, ministries have been started, and churches have been planted. What a mighty God we serve. We have also been able to reach several different ethnic groups and start a Bible college. We look forward to our first batch of Bible college graduates this year. Praise the Lord. Yet, there are approximately 8,400 villages in Cambodia with no true gospel witness. Cambodia is situated between the countries of Thailand, Laos, and Vietnam. And these four countries have a combined population of approximately 193 million. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Our vision remains the same, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith. Would you consider partnering with our family and ministry through your prayers and financial support in reaching Cambodia and Southeast Asia for Christ?
Jesus, my Jesus, for your glory, for your name. Jesus, my Jesus, I will only sing your praise. Jesus, my Jesus, for your glory, for your name. Jesus.
out here. Okay. I just want to say praise the Lord for his goodness. And, you know, as I watched the video there and just every face was just, you know, reached in the past decade or so by our team and, of course, by the grace of God, and their lives changed forever by the power of the gospel. And thank you for having a part in it through your love, prayers, and financial support. If you have your Bibles, if you would, please turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 14. And just a little over a year ago, when my wife and I knew we were coming back for a furlough, and it's been a long time since we were able to come back for a furlough, I let Brother Board know, our team leader out there, and I emailed Pastor Myers and just to let him know. And I start praying about if Pastor Myers would let me preach. I began praying what message God would allow me to preach. And God led me here to Acts 14 just a little over a year ago. And the title this evening is All That God Had Done. All That God Had Done. If you would, please have your Bibles open and keep your Bibles in Acts 14. We might look at Acts 13 and maybe Acts 15, but let's look at verse 26, Acts 14, verse 26. Thank you for being in God's house tonight. And I'll begin reading verse 26. And then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessing upon the service. Our Father in heaven, I thank you for the privilege we have just to assemble and to gather as a church family. I pray that the Lord Jesus, may the name of the Lord Jesus be magnified and lifted high. May we, just for a short moment, focus on you and what you have for us through this passage of Scripture. And I pray that we would be sensitive to you, and may we obey every impulse of your Holy Spirit. I pray that we would listen with the intent to hear from you and to apply that which you prepared for each and every one of us. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your wisdom, your strength, and your mercy. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, here we just, in Acts 14, Paul, the Apostle Paul, just completed his first missionary journey along with Barnabas. And they traveled from Antioch in Syria, and they traveled west through the island of Cyprus. And they crossed the island there, and they preached the gospel, and then they went up north to Asia Minor. And Paul and Barnabas, for the most part, in this first missionary journey, ministered in mainly six cities, and they started approximately four churches. And I praise the Lord, what God allowed us to do. I'm pretty sure we have about four churches that were planted and ministries that we believe, and I'll share about it in a bit, that's going to turn in the churches. And but Paul and Barnabas saw souls saved, and converts were taught, and some of them trained to lead those churches. And if you would, look in your Bible again in verse 26, I'm going to read, and thence sailed to Antioch. Here we see the city of Antioch. And I want to take a short moment and talk about this important city. From Acts 1 to 8, it was Jerusalem, and the main character was Peter. And now, starting from chapter 9, Acts chapter 9 and on, is the Apostle Paul. And the church of Antioch is the capital of Syria and the third largest city in the Roman Empire at that time. And they had many Greeks and Jews living there in that city. And if you remember, it was at Antioch in Acts 11 where they were first called Christians. That's where we got the name Christians from. But Antioch became the new base of operation for Paul's amazing missionary journeys. And so Antioch is important here. Let me read just something I was able to find. The church of Antioch, it stood out on the edge of the great heathen world, like a lighthouse on the shore of a desolate sea. And when I think of this church of Antioch, my wife and I had the privilege to travel to just a little over 200 churches. But there's something about special about our church, Pacific Baptist Church, to me personally. And when I think of the church of Antioch, I see some resemblance. And as I think of Pacific Baptist Church, I see it as a lighthouse in this community here, in this area. And as I travel and drive on the freeway, I'm trying to learn to drive again over here, amen? You guys go a lot faster out here, but I do appreciate the organization out here. The population of Los Angeles, the metropolitan area is 12,488,000. I'm so thankful for churches that God has placed here in the LA County area and in Southern California, such as Pacific Baptist Church and Monterey Park. I was able to be at Monterey Park last week. Let's look at verse 26 again here. I'm going to keep reading. And then sail to Antioch from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God. Notice that phrase there. They had been recommended to the grace of God. What does that mean? It was at a prayer meeting in Acts 13 where God called Paul and Barnabas to be the first foreign missionaries. And the church at Antioch they confirmed the Holy Spirit called Paul and Barnabas to the mission field. And the church at Antioch, God used them to confirm that call, to commission those men and to send them out. Let's turn back to Acts 13. And again, if you have your Bibles, please turn your Bibles. Acts 13, and just try to follow along. Acts 13, we're going to look at verse 1 to 4. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch. See, Antioch again, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, and verse 2, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. In verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And here we see that the church of Antioch was a church that sent out the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. In verse 26, let's go back to chapter 14, verse 26. I want to just focus on this passage, chapter 14, verse 26. The work which they fulfill. Notice that phrase there in verse 26. The work which they fulfill. What work is that? That's the work of planting new churches and strengthening the new churches that they planted. And that's what our team is about. Of course, the Great Commission is to go and make disciples, but as a team, we're a church planting team. And we praise God for what he's allowed us to do. And as you saw through the videos there, and I'll give in a bit here, some pictures later on in the message about a church that was planted 5 years ago, and God is working. I want to share the furlough pattern real fast, or the home assignment pattern. Let's look at verse 27. If you would look at verse 27 with me in the Bible. And when they were come and had gathered the church together. And before we read on, notice that phrase, and when they were come. What does that mean? Okay? And right here, we see, we've been blessed to have a lot of missionaries sent out of this church here. And of course, it's by the grace of God. It's a blessing for us to be back. And what is this all about? Why do we come back? And we see this pattern here in the scripture. And when that phrase there, when they were come, it means to be present. It means to make one's public appearance. And again, as I think of Pacific Baptist Church, I started attending Pacific Baptist Church back in 1995, 1996, and I was saved in this church here in 1997. And I remember back in 2009, and Pastor Joe and Brother Board contacted me, and they told me they were starting a team. And I remember when God called us and God made it clear to the mission field, and Pastor had us come in, and he, I'm sorry, do we have water? Can I get some water here? Okay, thank you. I should have listened to my wife. She told me I'm going to need water. Amen. Okay. I noticed I've been getting cold a lot. Everywhere I go, because I've been living in Cambodia, and I was cold in here, and where I go, I've been cold. Even though it's summer here, my mouth's dry here. But I remember in 2010, through Pacific Baptist Church, we surrendered to God's call to the mission field, and we were basically sent out of our church here. And so here... just something I found, I just want to read it. The greatest enterprise in the world is foreign missions. And this is the very start of this great movement. And we see in the book of Acts, and I love the book of Acts. Right now I'm studying the book of Acts in my personal study time. And in the book of Acts, we see that in Acts 8, God used persecution to move the gospel, to get the Great Commission moving. And he got the Great Commission to Syria and Antioch through persecution. And he got the Great Commission, remember, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And how did he get and then persecution got the gospel to Samaria through Philip the Evangelist. And then eventually, through the Church of Antioch, now it's different. Now it's a program. What kind of program? It's a mission program. As we saw in Acts 13, and we read it there, that God used to begin to reach the Roman Empire with the gospel. And so here we see a homecoming. And let's look at verse 27 again in your Bible there. And let's look at the next phrase. Had gathered the church together. So first of all, there was a homecoming. And the second thing that happened was they gathered the church together. What does that mean? That means to join, to come together, to accompany, to assemble. And someone said this is perhaps the first missionary conference. And this is probably one of the best mission conferences that's been out there in history. As I think about... backtracking a little bit, that's the Apostle Paul, the homecoming. They've been gone for about 2 years. They've been traveling since the church sent them out, and they placed them in the hand of God, and they prayed for Paul and Barnabas on their journey there, and they traveled for about 1,200 miles, 1,400 miles on their journey, and they've been gone for maybe a little over 2 years. And now they're back. And the church didn't know they were coming back. There were no cell phones back then. There were no emails. And here, imagine the scene that it caused. And they came home, their homecoming. And second thing, they gathered the church. And I think, you know, I thank God for my wife and I have been here back since for about just a little two weeks. It's been a joy to be here. We got to come to the Thursday night services and Sunday morning, Sunday night, we got to come out to the Saturday prayer meeting and faithfulness rally, and Tuesday soul winning 2 weeks ago. Man, praise God! It's been awesome just being back home and being a church that assembles, and praise God for that. And Hebrews 10:25, and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more. As ye see the day approaching. And I praise God for the local church, like the one in Antioch and the one here. And so the third thing, let's look at verse 27. Verse 27, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearse all that God had done with them. Notice the word rehearse. What does that mean? That means to announce. That means to declare, to report, to show, to speak, to make known, to bring back tidings. That's why we showed the video. And that's why I'm having an opportunity in a bit here to share just about what God has done. And let's look at the next phrase in verse 27. If you have your Bible there. All that God had done. And when I look at this passage, this phrase, it just sticks out to me and it jumps out, and all that God had done. And I would be lying if I stand here and I say it's because of us. It's because of our team. And we know it's all by the grace of God. And this is what Paul and Barnabas, they knew it. They knew it wasn't them. The great apostle Paul, the Barnabas, the encourager, they knew it wasn't them. They knew it was the Lord. As I read our church bulletin and I read the different missionaries that are sent out of our church, it's by God's grace. Right. If you're in here tonight, your family's in church tonight, it's not because of you. Yeah. Because of the mercy of God.
That's right.
Amen. And I want us, something I learned, that if you want to have success in the Christian life, it's the same way as when you got saved. When you got saved, what happened? You depended on God. We depended on God. God, I need you. I'm a sinner. I can't do it. My works, they're nothing. I trust you. I believe in you. I depend totally on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're going to live a successful Christian life, if we're going to have victory over the flesh and victory over the devil and victory over this world, if we're going to have victory in our marriages, in our family, and as a church, we need to depend on the Lord. It was the work of the Holy Spirit that called them and empowered them. And the phrase, with them, all that God had done with them. While God allows us to have a part in his work. How amazing that is. I'm going to read this paragraph here that I found. The praise of all the little good we do at any time must be ascribed to God. For it is he who not only worketh in us both to will and to do, but also worketh with us to make what we do successful.
Right.
And here, we're going to keep going here. Let's look at just something else I found here. God without man is still God. Man without God is nothing. And look at the next phrase in verse 27, how he had opened the door of faith. What did God do? With them? God opened the door of faith. What does that mean? God opened the gospel, and it was always his plan to the Gentiles, to the heathens. And it was a by faith message, salvation by grace through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. So here, the gospel have reached the Gentiles, and the Gentiles got saved. Brother Jeremy, I got some pictures here I want to show, and I want to just talk a little bit about our church in Romdeng. About 5 years ago, just a little over 5 years ago, Brother Tu and I, we went out to the province of Brevihia, and we were, we God gave us some context, and we went out there. We didn't know what we were expecting, and it was a remote village. It was way out there. As you can see, the roads there. I remember going out there, and we didn't know what to expect. But, you know, just in 5 years, God has done some amazing. Our trip that 5 years ago was just a survey. And then we start going there in the beginning about once a month to preach the gospel. And then after that, every 2 weeks we would go. And eventually we went once a week and sometimes twice a week. And God built a church there. Let me show you the next picture. We can go to the next picture here. And as you can see here, there was many trials along the way, and we'll show some more. Can we go to the next picture here? That's Brother Vong's car, and I'm laughing because Brother Myers at that time, and Brother Vong's watching right now. The only person on our team that had a car, I think, was Brother Vong. Amen. And so we had to use his car. Amen. And then that's me and Brother Two there. Brother Two on the right, and me on the left. Myself on the left, and that's me standing. What was I thinking? And that's the problem. I wasn't thinking. And I got stuck there, and Brother Two, and we kept going, and we kept going, and we praised God, and God worked it out. And we'll show the next picture here. But I remember here, Brother, the first week we went, we met Brother Tin here, and he wasn't saved then, and he was one of the first men that was interested. And I remember when he became a Christian, he was persecuted by his family and most of his kids. One of them, Pilot, he was a guy that drove me in on a scooter. I remember every time I tried to share the gospel with him, he just looked mad. He just was angry. He didn't want to hear it. But I, you know, since he's stuck with me, I might as well just tell him about the Lord. Amen. And we're riding in together, and we'll talk about Pilot later. But Putin, even though he was persecuted, even though his family, and even though he was dealing with various sickness, but he kept being faithful to the Lord. And we'll show the next picture here. Amen. And eventually, his daughter got saved. And Savani, and that's the same name as my brother there. And then we'll go to the next picture. This past month, during our celebration service, Savani's oldest son, a teenage boy, got saved. And Tong Lai. And we'll go to the next picture here. And this is Pilot. Remember Pilot, the guy I told you about, that he hated me telling him about the Lord, but he didn't have a choice, amen? He was riding, and I was sitting right behind him, and I'm telling him about the Lord, and he was not open at all, and he was angry, and we'll keep going. The next picture. And can I tell you something? Pilot, last year, he got saved. Amen. And his wife got saved. And now they want to study the Bible, and they're trying to get us to go out there and have a Bible institute out there. And we'll show the next picture here. And Putin, Savani's not pictured there, so his son, Savannah on the left, same name as my brother there, got saved, and his wife, Kom, got saved. And I remember the first week I went out there, Kom hated us too, Brother Two. I don't know, I think they hate Brother Two, they don't hate me. And then on the right there, and God's blessed Brother Thin, and God started a church there. If we can show the next picture here. And that's the church the last time I was there. And I praise God for our church in Rumdang. And this is what God had done in Cambodia. So number four, in verse 28, Acts 14:28, and there they abode long time with the disciples. It means to remain, abide, continue to spend. So here, my wife and I arrived two and a half weeks ago. And tomorrow we're hitting the road, and we're going to be traveling to different churches. And it's been a blessing to be with the church family, the fellowship, but here, that's what Paul and Barnabas did. And so we see this pattern of a furlough or a home assignment. And so just real quick, just three things that I believe resulted from this homecoming, from this gathering, from this rehearsing, from this abiding together with the church family in Antioch. So the first one, the first one is rejoice. I, you know, I, As I think of verse 27, the door of faith was opened to the Gentiles, as Paul told the believers there of the churches that were planted, of the souls that were saved, and the miracles that God wrought. And I can't imagine, but the church rejoicing. And the right response is we need to rejoice. You know, a Christian now, including myself, sometimes we take for granted what was a source of wonder, praise, and joy for the early saints. When God did something great, when somebody got saved and a church was planted, a ministry was started, they rejoice. They praise the Lord. Advice I received this year by an older pastor: learn to acknowledge, appreciate, and be amazed by the grace of God in your own life and that of others. I know we all have different backgrounds, and maybe you just some are on staff here, and maybe you just got in from work, you just got off of work, and you came here. I'm just grateful for what God is doing in your life.
Right. Amen.
You know, sometimes they will see a missionary, and we haven't seen each other for a long time, and I don't know if they feel shame or they're shy. I'm not sure, but for me, I'm just grateful to see you.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for God working in your life and bringing you to church tonight. So the first effect, the first result, I believe, of this homecoming, and it was, there was rejoicing. Number two, I believe there was a refocus about eternity, of the eternal things and the spiritual things. And the quote we've heard over and over again: the spirit of Christ is the spirit of missions. And the nearer we get to him, the more intensely missionary we become. God gave him a mission, Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. In Acts chapter 1, God gave it to the disciples and to the church. And as I mentioned, persecution brought the gospel, and now it's a mission program in Antioch. Hey, we got to refocus. I love 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. But all we, as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, God entrusted us with the gospel.
Yep.
Let's not be satisfied with just be content. Let's refocus on God. Let's refocus on the Lord Jesus. Let's refocus on his great commission and refocus on the lost world. You know, I know the last 2.5 years, it's been hard for many people all around the world.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, at times I lost focus. Stuck in the house, they shut down our neighborhood, we couldn't get out. And you know, the population in the United States is 335,148,000. In the world, there's 7.8 billion. You know, 4% of that world population lives in the United States. 96% live outside of the United States. We need to refocus. There's a world out there that's lost, and they need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Great Commission is true, our plans are not too big, they're too small. Another quote: others have done so much with so little, while we have done so little with so much. We ought to be grateful for what God is doing, but at the same time, we ought to humble ourselves and be grateful and be in awe of God.
Amen.
It's just the last point here. The result, number one, is to rejoice. Number two is to refocus. Number three is to repeat. You know, this, it was just one of many, several missionary journeys for, I almost said, Paul, that's the Khmer version, amen, of the Apostle Paul. He, in Acts 15, we won't turn there, he went on a second missionary journey. In Acts 18, he went on a third missionary journey. And Paul, he wanted to take the gospel to Spain when he wrote to the Roman church, Roman believers there. He wanted to take the gospel to the westernmost part of the Roman Empire. What God is doing, has done here in Pacific Baptist Church and in Monterey Park and Cambodia and Thailand and Laos, God wants to do all over the world. Hey, let's keep the gospel moving. Let's keep being a going church. Let's keep being a giving church. Let's keep being a sending church. And let's keep being a praying church. I'm going to read Matthew 28, verse 18 to verse 20, and I'll be done, Pastor Myers. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Thank you. Sure.